Welcome to Biz Talk, brought to you by Latin Business Club of America and Warsaw, Florida's largest networking organization dedicated to promoting businesses within the Latin community and fostering understanding between Latinos and other Americans. And we promote businesses through our monthly networking events, our website, latinbiz.net, our newsletter, and our magazine, Latin Biz. I'm Monica Puch, president and founder of Latin Business Club of America and your host for Biz Talk. And here every week for half an hour, we discuss topics that are important to us as small business owners and professionals. My guest today will share with us the seven deadly sins of business transformation. So stay tuned to find out if you're committing any of these deadly sins. Mohan Nair is Chief Innovation Officer of a health plan in the Northwest Mountain region. He founded Emerge Inc., a transformation advisory firm, in 1993, and he is the former director and president of ABC Technologies, Inc. He has authored two books on cost and performance management. And in 2009, the Marketing Leadership Council of the Corporate Executive Board highlighted him as a marketing thought leader. Welcome to Biz Talk, Mohan.
Oh, thank you very much, Monica.
We are so excited to have you here today because I know we're going to learn a lot from you. But I just briefly gave some information about you. So please share a little bit more about your background and what brought you to pay so much notice to what companies might be doing wrong when transforming their businesses.
Well, I think it was a journey for many, many years, but it culminated in a book that I hope will help others really get avoid the mistakes that I think I've seen many companies make, as well as capture some of the successes that companies have made. But it all started, frankly, my background could be boring to most of your listeners because it's classic. I worked in high technology for many years. I started when the 286 chip was actually a revolution, and now you can imagine what iPads are doing for the world, so it's been a while.
Yes.
But through that realization, through the work that I've done in starting and founding companies as well as serving companies in many executive roles, I come to a framework that took me many years to put together. But it all started with one meeting with Rajmohan Gandhi, who was one of Gandhi's grandchildren.
And that's impressive, I must say.
Well, that's more than impressive. It was just a pure coincidence. I bumped into him, and he invited me for dinner. And here I was thinking that I could impress him with my knowledge, or at least forge a friendship. But long before I sat down, he asked me one question. And he asked me the question that sort of turned the corner for me in terms of my purpose of what business is all about. He asked me the question, and maybe it's not a direct quote, but he said, "You know, Mohan, you are named after my grandfather, and most people don't know that Mahatma Gandhi's first name was my first name." And he said, "What are you doing for the world with that name?" And I couldn't answer.
What an excellent question.
And I spent most of my time desperately impressing him with my board positions that I sit on and all the other things I've done, which I'm proud of my accomplishments. I'm proud of my little I've done with respect to moving in an immigrant role into this country and serving our great nation, but I couldn't really answer his question. And that journey started then, and it has not ended yet, but it is one where finding true purpose in an individual can be translated into finding true purpose in an organization. And I hope that answers your question.
It does. And what was your exact answer to him? You were just carrying on about all the one. That's just such an amazing insight you just gave us. And I mean, we haven't even been on the show about a few minutes. This is great. Thank you.
Well, you know, I don't want you to get the impression that we are all about purpose and not about profit. But I think the combination of the two is what I think we all seek in our lives. My answer was ridiculous. Actually, my answer was embarrassing. I told him I was on this board and that board. I was chairman of the board of the American Electronics Association in the Northwest at that time. I was running a software company as president. But all of them seemed really hollow, if you know what I mean, Monica. They didn't seem strong enough.
Welcome, because of who you were speaking with, maybe,
exactly.
Because of his, yes.
Exactly. Sometimes when
this is impressive, those things.
Yes. I'm sorry for interrupting you, but sometimes when you meet great minds with great purpose, you recognize how far we are away from that particular objective and goal. And that's what started the journey towards me searching for leadership. What does that mean? Me searching for what is the purpose of organizations. It allowed me to coin the phrase, find the cause in your organization, not their mission, and so on and so forth. And it took me 20 years to actually write this book.
Well, I'm glad you did, because yes, so far, I mean, the insight you've given us, and it is true, when we sit down and think, we have to have purpose with profit in order to have a true successful company that is well-grounded, right?
Yes. I mean, I believe that, and I believe that from... And so I set about time to research organizations, talk to a number of CEOs, get a feel for where they sit with this, and it started with the concept of cause, and it has journeyed all the way to an equation, so to speak, of what are the sins. I mean, obviously we say sins because we want to sell books, right? I mean, it's...
word always sells books, right?
Yeah, I know. But I did feel that they were noteworthy activities and capabilities that organizations sometimes miss, and that's why I thought I'd share the book with others.
And we're definitely going to cover those sins that you speak about in the book. But before that, I want to mention something that you state, which is really important to mention. That you state that there are too many employees these days running on empty, and no matter how great their work ethic or their fear of unemployment, at some point the pace becomes unsustainable. So why do employers lose the extra effort of their employees?
Well, I mean, I can't answer that question with a recipe, but I can give you only my perspectives. And, of course, your listeners may have much broader capacity to respond than I. But I think that we lose our way. We lose our identity before we lose our way in business. And a number of times we think we're just losing our way and not making enough money or not growing fast enough or actually not making any money at all, and we struggle with this. But it comes to who you are and what you stand for as an organization. And what powers most organizations' insight into finding new markets or transforming or becoming a leader in the next generation markets is much more found not in equations of how to get more money and how to take more money for services, but how to serve a larger good rather than just pure money creation. I must say, money creation is very important, but wealth creation is larger than money creation. As you know, Peter Drucker, who we all admire as a great, great aficionado of business, said that the primary purpose of business is wealth creation. And most people assumed when he said that, that wealth creation meant make money, get a good return on investment, and gain some profits and make your employees happy. I kind of have a different definition. I look at it and I say there are three ways to create wealth. One is emotional wealth, and you and I have experienced, obviously, those kinds of emotional wealth. Children are your emotional wealth.
Yes.
Family is your emotional wealth. Your legacy is your emotional wealth. Rational is the other one, which is, I made money doing this. Aren't you proud of me? And then the third one, which is most forgotten, is symbolic wealth. Symbolic wealth, and that caused me to write this book as well as talk as much as I can about this subject, is that you represent something greater when you are symbolic. When people buy a Prius, they have emotional wealth. They say they're saving the world with not using enough gas, so to speak. They're rational because they're saving money, they say. But then they're also symbolic, because if you look at the back of a Prius, there's always got some logo or label that says save the trees or something else. They're representing that they are part of a movement.
Yes, that's a good point.
They're enjoying together. And I think wealth creation can be in these three aspects. So companies lose their identity when they give up symbolic and emotional wealth and only go for the rational.
And what are some tips that you might recommend for companies to do that?
Well, that's a tough one, isn't it? The tips are clear to me, but may not be clear to your listeners, and let me try. For one is, before you change the world with your product or your service, ask yourself, are you changing yourself with your product and service? Before you think of capturing market share, ask yourself whether you have your own mind share and market share given to what you're doing. I learned this from the teachings of Gandhi and the teachings of Martin Luther King and Mother Teresa and everything else, is that to change the world, first change yourself. And that's one big principle, and it's listed in my first sin, which is when you ignore these principles, then everything you do after that doesn't seem to come with the right aftertaste. And so the other is something that my mother taught me. I was on the phone with her. She lives in the South Pacific, so I was on the phone with her. And you know how it is when a son and daughter talk to their mother. They're always talking about how the world is against them.
Yes, we get to hear everything.
I was doing that too. And at this age, I'm still doing that, which is quite sad to hear. But and she quietly listened. And quietly she said, just like any other mother in the world, she quietly said, "You know, Mohan, this is not all about you." And that was the hardest thing to hear.
From your own mother, right?
Exactly, because my mother was getting tired of my ego. And she said, "It's not all about you, you know. Sometimes it's all about what's bigger than you." And that lesson stayed with me. That was about 10 years ago. And I put it in the book, and I acknowledged her, of course, for her great teaching. But it is not all about you. And when you're building a company, or you're defining a business, or you're serving customers, please don't make yourself in the middle of your slides. Because they're always in the middle of your slides. Your logo is always in the middle of your slides. You are the reason for existence, when exactly the opposite is true. Others and how you transform others' lives is really the legacy of your business.
That's so well put. Yes, it is. It is. It's about our customers. Without our customers and without our communities, we would not exist in the business.
Correct. And transforming your customers and the lives of your customers will produce revenue for you if you know how to market yourself, get the skills associated with designing your business models, and be very good. In other words, you're not just going to be emotionally and rationally and symbolically. You got all of them working together, and that's what I believe really creates the best kind of workplace, and that's what energizes people.
That is excellent advice. So then the first, we'll get then to the sins, the seven sins. The first sin is the one you just mentioned, ignoring the new principles of business transformation, right?
Yes, Monica, that's it, ignoring those principles. And if I may continue, there's one or two more principles I may want to
share okay.
with you. One of them is that, you know what is so amazing? You look at Tunisia transforming its government. You look at Egypt transforming its government. By one individual saying, "I don't want to live this way anymore," and the entire social network of the world engaging that country into transformation, it took one fruit seller who lit himself on fire because he did not believe that he wanted to live the world the way the world chose him to live, transformed nations in the Middle East, and those transformations continue. And that also came from a concept that one idea can change all other ideas, because if one idea can in one person can change another person with another idea, then one idea with one person can change everyone. And in the past, that was more difficult, but we see many examples of it. In the religious faith, you see many examples of it. In the company faith, you see many examples of it. And in just our own lives, we see examples of one person changing all others. And that is now accentuated even more with the Facebooks of the world, where instantly you discover things happening. If somebody hits somebody in a school bus, we get it on YouTube within seconds. If somebody transforms the world in their own way, we get it on YouTube in seconds. And so that vibrations in our universe are happening so dramatically in business. And understanding and enhancing that and enjoying that is a principle I think is also worth considering.
That's excellent. That's very, very good. And it goes back to be the change you want to see in the world.
Correct. It goes back to that. And stop worrying about your advertising dollars and start worrying about your ability to advertise yourself and what you stand for and how that advertising works. And that advertising is less billboards and more your own heart and how you want to execute in the day-to-day with your customers and with your workplace colleagues. And that will elaborate itself in the long term. It won't be a short-term game. It's easy to get short-term press over whatever you're doing. Just do something completely stupid and...
Everybody will know about it.
Everybody will know about it.
It'll be live on YouTube within seconds.
and that's not lasting transformation, I don't think.
So we definitely, any of the sins that we're going to talk about next, those, they all have to emanate from the first one, right? From that principle, from following the principles of the business transformation. And the second one is, you say, driving without a cause. Tell us what you mean by this.
Well, you know, I know we're all very mission-driven, and I am also mission-driven, but I began to realize that when you see great leaders like Gandhi and Martin Luther King, and those are the people, and Mother Teresa, and all the people that you think you admire because they have transformed the lives of themselves and the lives of others over centuries, you start to begin to realize that they were not chasing a mission. They were inhabiting a cause, mm-hmm. something greater than themselves. A mission is usually given. And how many companies really can articulate their mission statement? They tend to forget their mission statement. They usually write it at the back of their card. They try to do everything to remember it, but they always forget why they exist. But if you have something that's inside you that you really believe in transforming, that's even bigger than your company, that lives with you forever. It lives in your family. It lives in your friends. It becomes something that's a cause, a personal implication, not an organizational implication. Yes. And it usually goes from one to many. A cause starts from one individual, and it resonates with many, and people start to pick it up. They pick up their cause, and they say, my cause is your cause, and they start to go like that. And it usually changes us before it changes others, which is our first principle. It's usually taken, not given. Missions are usually given. Missions are usually shorter term. Causes are usually everlasting because they deal with things that cannot change easily. And one more thing is, a cause is usually realized. It's usually discovered. It's not instituted. Somebody doesn't come up and say, I really like your mission, so I want to join your company. They do that when they want to get hired, because we all say anything we have to say to get a job these days. But when you discover a purpose be greater than yourself in what you do. When Disney said, we're going to make people happy, they call it a mission statement, but they really mean it as a
cause. Yes.
As a cause. It's
That's
a cause.
Good.
And they want to make people happy. When Starbucks says, we're not about coffee, but we're about people serving coffee to people, and then they operationalize that element, then they are driving towards something bigger. And everyone can look at them and say they got great couches and they have good coffee and they have a sense of community. But what's driving them, what's creating that energy, that spark that never dies, is found in some of these great companies. Les Schwab Tires is a very, very large tire company that sells tires and other accessories. They're a multi-billion-dollar company. They started with a man named Les Schwab. And all he wanted was to give entrepreneurs a chance to start their own business. People who couldn't do it, he would give them loans and he would franchise. And he was not in the business of selling tires, even though he did that very well. He was in the business of creating trust. Mm. Because he wanted people to come to his store to get trust, transact in trust. Trusted tires, not just tires.
That's excellent. And we definitely need to concentrate then more on our cost and have our mission be in harmony with that, definitely. We have about 8 minutes left. So
sure.
Unfortunately, we are definitely going to publish this, because you wrote an excellent article that complements your book, and we're definitely going to publish it on the next issue of Latin Biz magazine, but I do want our listeners to get some of the more of this great information. The third sin you mentioned is missing market momentum. How
yes.
are we guilty of doing that?
And I'll speed up so I can at least cover some of them, so it'll be of value to your listeners and give us a chance to have a little bit more dialogue. Market momentum is like what you see in a basketball or a soccer game. Now I'm moving from purpose to execution. So you know how they play basketball and soccer? They call a timeout sometimes?
Yes.
The reason is your opponent wants to stop your momentum, not just your movement. And companies usually just move. But companies that have momentum really know how to take on the markets. They see things coming before they arrive. Usually, in business, we produce products. The products produce customers, so to speak. The customers create markets, and then the markets have momentum. But in new markets where you can't even see the market before it even arrived, in transformative markets, you have to see the momentum, then you have to see where the markets are going, and then you have to find the customers, and then you have to produce a product. It's the other way around. And for steady-state markets, you obviously have to do it the way I just mentioned formally. For new markets, you have to see the unseen. Starbucks saw that people like coffee at a time when 3.1 coffee cups were being sold per person per day, at a time when nobody said that they needed coffee and the coffee market was saturated, but they saw something different. They saw people wanting community and wanting identity and wanting to be called by name when the coffee is delivered.
Yes, and, yes, because we all want to be acknowledged. That's
correct.
And they
that was
really,
momentum.
They definitely marketed on that. And then the sin number four is ignoring the two orders of value. What are the two orders of value, and how
Very
do we correct
simple.
This?
One is the high and low order. The low order is usually the rational and emotional that I mentioned before. The high order is the symbolic. Prius is an example I mentioned before. If you're thinking about what your symbolic is, when people shop and they take their own bags because they don't want to take paper, they are symbolically saying, my action is valuable for the world, not for just the store. And the store is saying, "It's your action is saving us from cutting down trees, but also making a profit out of that." So the orders of value, please don't forget the symbolic orders of value because they're stunningly important. And I can share with you stories about how symbolism can transform the world.
Then we're definitely going to have you back, though, to do more of those, because I do want to cover this all this sense. And one thing that is worth mentioning that you mentioned before, too, and I want to mention again, that one, the symbolic, is very important, not only with our clients, but with our employees also,
yeah.
Right?
Yes. I mean, the symbolic value really drives employee participation and engagement. When they believe it. Of course, under all of this, authenticity is very important. You can't lie to people. You can't fake them. That people are smart enough to see right through it, so don't even bother. I think what's important is authenticity. The next sin in moving to your question is really transformational servant leadership. Servant leadership has been around a long time. It was started by an individual, Robert Greenleaf. I took the ideas and then I transformed it into a business of transformation. The reason why I say servant leadership is very critical is that leadership with ego can only go so far. And ego is good if it serves a greater good. Ego is not good when it starts to become narcissistic and drives its own. So when leaders are born and made, and they're both born and made in my opinion, but they have to be realized, leadership comes from realization. Gandhi, Mahatma Gandhi is an example. He was really bad when he was young. He didn't know how to speak. He was nervous in front of crowds. He was laughed off his court case when he was trying to be a lawyer. He took violin lessons when he was young. He tried to be a British person. Nobody liked him that way. He was kind of a not-so-successful person until he discovered that India was being persecuted by the British at that time, and he could not understand why he was thrown out of a train because he was colored. That drove his cause of transforming and freeing India. Prior to India, that leadership came from transforming himself for a social cause. Most of us respect business leaders like Bill Gates, and I do too, and other great leaders like people who run the big corporations. But we don't consider entrepreneurs to be equivalent to Gandhi or Martin Luther King or Mother Teresa. They are incredible entrepreneurs.
Yes, and I believe it is so important. That's part of our vision with our organization too, Latin Business Club of America, is that there is always room for spirituality also in business. And we are out of time, so I'm just going to mention the subject lines for the next two sins, and then I'm going to have our listeners go to our website and get more information about you. And also in a minute, I want to get the information about your book too.
Sure.
Okay, so the number six. Sin is mistaking capability for strategic competency. Yes. And then number seven is expecting flawless execution without a performance platform. And those we're going to publish in the next issue of Latin Biz Magazine, the second quarter issue. So we will have all of them on there. But tell us where people can go to purchase your new book, Strategic Business Transformations.
Well, you can go any bookstore you want and, of course, ask them to get them for you. World worldwide release from Wiley & Sons, so the publications will be everywhere. You can just go to any e-retail that you're familiar with, ranging from Amazon all to any others. And those books are highly available, so there's no worries about that.
Mohan Iyer, thank you so much for being on the show with us, and we really would love to have you back again because I feel that we did not have enough time today. You know, you have such great information to share with us, so I hope you will come back at another time.
Monica, all you have to do is invite me, and I love talking with you, so I enjoy the conversation. It's nice to know people care enough to give us a chance to explore the ideas.
Thank you. And this is Monica Puch, and you just listened to BizTalk, brought to you by Latin Business Club of America, South Florida's largest networking organization promoting businesses to the Latin community. For more information, visit us online at latinbiz.net or call us at 786-357-7998. Enjoy the rest of your week, and when things seem too difficult to handle, remember to let go and let God.